Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My homily today, I'd like to focus especially onto the epistle, the words that St. Paul gave to us. It was a short little reading, but powerful. In it, St. Paul reminds us, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is the one who is our judge, and God is the one who has sent his Son, and his Son was willing to accept even death for us and then rose from the dead to a new life, who can bring anything against us? It's a message of incredible hope for us. And yet I want to look at this passage, putting it in context, in contrast, with other parts of the scripture, and I think part of our experience of Lent as well. See, because in other places, St. Paul, when he's talking to the Philippians, he says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And what is it that is sort of like the word that embodies what we're supposed to be doing during Lent? Repent, right? There's a call to recognizing our sins. Here, St. Paul talks about God's judgment and says we should approach it with great confidence because God is the one who will provide what is needed for us for our salvation. We feel also the tension of facing our judgment with fear and trembling and realizing we shouldn't sort of just sit around and do nothing. There is a call for us to do something. Repent, conversion. There's a tension between these two, right? Y'all feel that? I think as Catholics, we all should recognize and feel that. A tension between, on the one hand, assurance of God's power over all evil, and yet, on the other hand, recognizing that sin is present. And we need to do something about that. So I'd like to reflect on this and this tension that we can often feel. And I'd like to do so with two words that for me have really helped clarify and be able to give me a better way of moving forward in the midst of this tension. Those two words are conviction and condemnation. What do we mean by these two words? Well, conviction, this I'm taking from Jesus' speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And while he's there speaking to them at the Last Supper, he says that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit for you, and the Holy Spirit will convict you, convict the world of sin. This is part of what the Holy Spirit does for us. It's by the Holy Spirit working within our conscience, well-formed, that we can recognize sin within us. This is what God does. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Conviction, being convinced of sin and its power. Now, this conviction of sin that comes to us helps us to be able to recognize what sin really is. It's not just sort of arbitrary set of rules that God has given to us. Well, you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that. And it's not an arbitrary set of punishments that are set to them. Sin, when we are convinced by the Holy Spirit in our conscience of sin, we recognize the way that it destroys the gift of life that God wants for us. It disrupts what God would like for us so that we can be able to grow in his life and for the destiny that he has for us. And it doesn't affect just us. Our sin affects those around us, and the sins of the world work together to bring corruption, destruction, ultimately the power of death. This power of sin that is around us is something that we become convicted of when the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. And to a certain extent, every human person has a inner sense, a conscience about right and wrong, about the presence of evil that exists in the world. And this is a good thing that we have this. We are convicted of sin. But that's not the only thing that the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, God's Spirit also simultaneously presents before us God's gift of grace. Whenever we are faced with our own sin and we recognize its destructive power within our lives, the Holy Spirit also gives to us in matching measure and exceeding measure the grace to recognize that God's power is greater than that of sin. The confidence to be able to hear and resonate with these words of St. Paul, right? If God is the one who is judging us, and he was willing to send his own son to die and to be raised, that it's about bringing new life, then this reality of God's grace helps us to overcome what is broken by sin. There's a long reading when we look at the story of the Transfiguration, that this is that vision of grace that helps to counterbalance the vision of the power of evil. The Transfiguration story tells us how Peter, James, and John are with Jesus on the mountain, and they're talking about him dying and rising from the dead. But they see this vision of glory, and it strengthens them. They're given a moment of being able to hear the voice of the Father, and it gives them courage. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings both the conviction of sin and also the conviction of grace and God's plan for us, and that God will never abandon us. So that's the first word, conviction. But there's another word I think that we need to be aware of, and it is condemnation. Now, condemnation, as we can understand it here, represents, well, I mean, it functions very similarly to what happens in conviction. We see that there are sins, evils in ourselves, in the world around us. And so it functions and it seems a lot like what the Holy Spirit is doing, convicting us of sin. But here's the difference with the spirit of condemnation. The evil is there, it's recognized for being evil, but then it stops there. There is no conviction of grace. It's merely condemnation. And in St. Paul, when he was in his reading today, he says, "Who will bring a charge against God's holy ones?" It seems to be sort of a rhetorical question, but in fact, St. Paul, knowing his scriptures very well, knows exactly who it is who will try to bring a charge against God's holy ones. One of the names in the scriptures for the evil spirit, the devil, the Satan, is the accuser. The one who accuses of sin. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, but condemnation is the work of the evil spirit. It appears at first as though it is good because it is condemning evil, but when there's no grace, there's no hope. And so condemnation, a spirit of condemnation, enters into a person. And at first they recognize sin in themselves and before others, but because they're not also convicted by the power of grace, they become overwhelmed. Condemnation brings about either a sense of helplessness, despair, not being able to do anything in the face of the evil that is around us and within us, or it can manifest itself in frenetic activity and anger. We're going to force things to happen because they're not happening fast enough. God, I'm not doing it on your timeline. I need results now. Condemnation can lead to both of those. When we consider then what it is that we're doing here during this Lenten time, we are indeed called to repentance. We're called to recognize judgment against sin. But brothers and sisters, let us listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and not merely the accuser. If I can, one final image I think that will can really be able to guide us in this. We might think about it this way. When the evil spirit comes and he wants to give just this vision of condemnation, this spirit of condemnation, he comes forward and he has just one hand offered. And in it is the reality of sin and evil. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it's always with both hands open. Yes, the reality of sin and evil, but also, in equal and in greater measure, God's grace, forgiveness, mercy, and his ultimate plan to overcome power of sin, death, and evil. So as we continue on through this Lenten time, let us reject any spirit of condemnation and hopelessness and put our faith in God, who convicts us of sin, but who always guides us through his salvation. Amen.